Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks near Branson, Missouri. We're looking at time, God's calendar, how God looks at time. We need to take a look now at how he sees time move out of our realm of time over into his realm of time because, folks, we're approaching the coming of the Lord. And right now, last week and this week, we're looking at God's calendar. Leviticus chapter 23 gives us that calendar, which was instituted. This is the sacred calendar, God's sacred calendar of redemption, the history of redemption told before it is consummated in the earth, because God always tells the end from the beginning. So when he brought them out of Egypt, they celebrated the Passover. He told them to kill the Passover lamb, keep it up 4 days, and it was the month of Nisan. I think we'll go back to Exodus chapter 12 today. I hope you always have your Bibles close by, or you'll go back to the archives and replay this with your Bible close by. When he brought them out of Egypt, he said, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." This is the month Nisan. The Jewish people have been keeping track of time since God spoke this to Moses. They've been keeping track of time. They've been keeping track of years. They've been keeping track of months. Months is the Hebrew word month. It comes from chodesh, is the Hebrew word for month, and it comes from hadash, which is new. So the first of every month, there's a new moon. That's how they count the months. And that becomes Rosh Chodesh, the head of the month, each month. Like, for instance, today in the evening is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Today in the evening is the day of the month that the Passover takes place. I have my grandson Brandon sitting across from me. And the year that he was born, it was April 6th in our calendar. And on the Jewish calendar, it was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So he was born on a special day, like a New Year's Day, but not the New Year's Day of the civil year, the New Year's Day of the sacred calendar. Well, if he lived in Israel today, his birthday would be today, but it would be Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the first day of the month of Nisan, and it's April 5th. Now, how did this happen? How did it change? Well, the Jews keep a lunar calendar. And the lunar calendar begins with each new moon. Now, if you don't adjust that, you'll just keep moving forward, 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 like the Muslims do. Ramadan just changes, changes, changes. It goes all around the calendar. It can be in any season. But the Jews' feasts can't be in any season. They're harvest feasts, and harvests go by the sun. So this first date on God's redemptive calendar, the date of Passover, it's the barley harvest. Well, you can't just have a lunar calendar and having Passover coming over at Christmas time, barley's not going to be ripe. So you have to adjust the lunar calendar to a solar calendar. We're used to this even a little bit. We can see it a little bit in the way that we have leap years. Every 4 years, we add a day to the month of February. But since they have lunar months, they have to add more time. They add an entire month. Six times in 19 years, they add a second Adar, a second month of Adar. And this is the leap year. They added it this year. That's why things change to very different dates there. So today, as it is this day, and last month, on the third, last Sunday, in fact, was the final day of the second Adar. The 3rd of April, do I have you totally confused, was the last day of the month of Adar, and now they, the 4th was the last day of the month of Adar, and today, the 5th, is the first day of Nisan. And so, this is the month for the calendar to include the killing of the Passover lamb and then the Passover feast itself. This year, on the 19th of April, will be the first day of Passover. So, as we're looking at it here and how they commemorated it, remember I told you that each feast commemorated a historical event. Passover commemorates their coming out of Egypt. It prophesies there will be a fulfillment of each feast. This we know was fulfilled by our Lamb, the Lord, Yeshua, the Lord Jesus. But it's also a harvest feast. It's harvest of the barley crop. Now, let's go back and read a little bit about this harvest. Verse 9, and Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you be come into the land which I give unto you. Now this cannot be done anywhere outside the land of Israel. When you are come into the land which I give unto you, and you shall reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priests. And he shall wave the sheaf before you, before Jehovah. He shall wave the sheaf before Jehovah to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. This is the waving of the first fruits of the barley harvest. This has wonderful, wonderful significance. It is also tied into the counting of the Omer. Go down to verse 15. You shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall you number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. The presentation of the Omer, or sheaf of the first fruits. I'm reading now from Barron's book, Types, Psalms, and Prophecies. We have this book. You can get it from us. Next in order to the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, we have in the chapter which we are considering the significant ceremonial of the presentation of the Omer, or sheaf of first fruits. I'll read it again, this time from the New American. And Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring the sheaf of the firstfruits of your harvest unto the priests. And he shall wave the sheaf before Jehovah to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And you shall eat neither bread nor parched corn nor fresh ears until this selfsame day, until you have brought the oblation of your God. It is a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It is an ancient subject of controversy as to whether the first day of the week or the second day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread is meant by the expression the morrow after the Sabbath. But Barron believes that the word Sabbath is used not only of the weekly rest, but also of the first and last days of the great festivals and of the Day of Atonement. And he quotes Dr. Eidersheim, quote, the testimony of Josephus of Philo and of Jewish tradition leaves no room to doubt that in this instance we are to understand by the Sabbath the 15th day of Nisan on whatever day of the week it might fall. The general impression one would get from the words of Scripture is that a sheaf of the first ripe ears of the early barley harvest was thus presented or waved before the Lord, and this was probably the case originally and in the ritual of the first temple. There is no doubt that in this presentation of the very earliest natural produce of the ground, the very first one's going to be the barley, Israel was taught to acknowledge God's power and bountifulness, and thus by a representative first fruits to consecrate to him the whole harvest. For all these Jewish festivals, although they commemorated the covenant dealings of God with his people, were also in connection with the natural seasons of the year, with the harvests which God gave unto his people, with the outward blessings with which he surrounded them. But here, as is so often the case in Scripture, the earthly and visible is the symbol of greater and deeper spiritual realities. There is another harvest field for the first ripe fruit, of which the Lord of the harvest had long been waiting, and harvest of which the Bible calls, the New Testament calls, in 1 Corinthians 15, that marvelous chapter of resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Christ are the firstfruits, after that they are Christ's at his coming. Christ was the firstfruits. This sheaf of the barley harvest represents the resurrected Christ. Hallelujah. It was on the third day after the Passover lamb was slain. And the Passover lamb, of course, our lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, exemplifies that a corn of wheat was cast into the ground to die, that it may bear all this glorious harvest. It was on the third day after the Passover lamb was slain that he rose again and stood forth as the branch of Jehovah for beauty and for glory, and as the fruit of the earth for excellency and for comeliness. Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 2 calls him the fruit of the earth. Here is the glorious head of humanity coming forth out of the earth, a sheaf waved from the earth unto God, that he might sit at the right hand of the Father. Oh, how beautiful is the Passover fulfilled unto us. Christ, our Passover, is offered. Christ, the first fruits of the dead, is risen. We are brought out of Egypt, the house of bondage. We have been redeemed with the precious blood of the Lamb. Praise the Lord. Does anyone feel a doubt upon this subject? Does it seem a thing impossible that God should raise the dead? Praise the Lord. He who has raised up the Lord Jesus shall also raise us up. Of this the Holy Ghost bears witness in the Word. Now is Christ raised from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection. In other words, Jesus stands to us in the relation of our covenant head. As by virtue of our connection with the first Adam, we are subject to death and corruption, by our connection to the Lord, he's the first fruits. We are the fruits that follow of resurrection. And it was all foretold in that feast and the waving of the sheaf. Oh, what a planner. Oh, what a plan. This is Billy Brim. You can contact us and catch up on our teaching at billybrim.org. This is Billy Brim saying to you, shalom, shalom, until tomorrow when we shall look again at God's counting time.